Shameless Media.
I walked past my brother's room and both of them, like independent of each other, were sitting inside the frame of their bed and they were reading. And I'm like, I want to do that. Probably never read a book in my life. So I took myself, I like went to their room and I was like, do you guys have a book for me to read? And
nice.
My older brother Steele gave me Philosopher's Stone, Harry Potter. Oh. And I finished it within like a week.
Welcome to The Tastemakers in partnership with Bailey's Irish Cream Liqueur. I'm your host, Gemma Diamond, and in this very special fortnightly book club series, I sit down with your favourite tastemakers from a range of backgrounds, from beauty to lifestyle to food creators. Over the next few months, we will be getting to know the tastemakers we reckon lead the charge in their respective areas of expertise. Since Bailey's and indulgence go hand in hand, I will of course be asking our tastemakers how they seek enjoyment in moments away from work too. Is it a glass of Bailey's on a Friday night at home? Is it getting lost in a romance book for hours? Or is it binge listening to a thriller novel on a long drive? We've got a lot to chat about, so let's get into it. Today, we are joined by Sage Mellett. Hi, Sage.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm so good. It's so beautiful here.
Thank you very much. It's been a really long time putting all these books together. Speaking of which, what is your relationship with reading like?
It's a great question. I know this is the Shameless Book Club, so I'm a bit nervous to say this, but it's on and off.
No, when I respect
on,
that.
It's yeah. on, you know,
yep.
like I love reading.
Yeah.
When I find a book that I am obsessed with, I like can't put it down. It's kind of like a toxic trait where I'm like, I won't read for months.
Yeah.
And then I pick up a book that I love and it's like my entire personality and I can't stop speaking about it. Don't know if you can relate to that.
100%, but I also don't think that's toxic because even Michelle and Zara, the queens of the Shameless Book yeah. Club and Shameless Media, they have said the same thing because it's a luxury to be able to sit down and fully dedicate however long mm-hmm. to reading. So mm-hmm. I don't think that's a toxic trait
great.
At all.
And well, if they said that, I feel better about it.
You're in the clear. And you've got a lot on your plate, which we will come to. While we are still on books, though, was there a particular moment, maybe when you're a child, that you really remember falling in love with reading?
Mm. So I think I was probably like 7 or 8 at the time.
Yeah.
We were moving houses in Perth and we had spent the whole day moving, got everything done. And I walked past my brother's room. Everything was set up except their beds. Uh-huh. So the frame of the bed, sorry, was set up, but no mattress.
Yeah.
And I walked past their room and both of them, like independent of each other, were sitting inside the frame of their bed and they were reading. And I was like, that is so like main character energy. Like they're just like, we've just moved houses. Now we're sitting reading our books. And I'm like, I want to do that. I've probably never read a book in my life. So I took myself, I like went to their room and I was like, do you guys have a book for me to read? And
nice.
My older brother Steele gave me Philosopher's Stone, Harry Potter. Oh. And I took it,
I sat down,
yeah, heard of it. And I was like thinking like, I'm not actually going to read it. Like this is just for show. This is just for the performance of it.
For sure.
But I obviously started it. And I mean, it's Harry Potter. Mm. It's Philosopher's Stone. It's one of the best books of all time. Yeah. And I finished it within like a week. And it was like my first ever book that I ever read.
What I love about this is that you were early to this TikTok trend of romanticizing your life. You've just seen a vignette of your brothers sitting in their bed frames reading and you've thought, that looks cool.
I'm like, that's going to be me.
How do you find new books to read? Or are you still asking your brothers, do you have a book for me?
Yeah, to be honest, I think every book I've ever read has been a recommendation.
Love that.
Yep. I don't know. I think because I don't read so much when I do, I want it to be good.
Yeah.
And I trust the people in my life. If they're recommending me a book, I'm like, I trust you. So yeah, mainly through recommendations. I've walked into a bookstore once before and asked the people who work there for a recommendation before, but other than that, it's usually family and friends.
I want to work through your career sort of chronologically because there's a bit in here. Let's start with Peach Pack, which is the sustainable period pack business that you started with your friend Alyssa.
Yeah.
Take me back to the beginning of that. At what point did the two of you sit down and go, okay, we can do this. Let's start a business together. Mm.
So Alyssa and I, we did our gap year program together.
Yeah.
I don't have sisters. I've got three brothers. So the women in my life, my friends are my sisters. And being on this gap year program, we spent so much of our time that year just talking about everything and anything. Just things, I guess, that you would with your sisters, like open conversations.
As
about,
an only child, I'm like, what? Oh yeah, you're like, what do you mean?
I'm sure you have with friends.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Imagine though if I'm like no,
just me in
it's
this
just
world.
The listeners of the Tastemakers.
That's funny. Yeah, so we had just like really vulnerable conversations about like taboo topics and stuff. And when we got back, I moved to Melbourne and those conversations continued. And I don't specifically know how we got into periods and menstruation, but the one day we were talking about just our own experiences and like our first period stories. And we're like, wait, why does it feel weird for people who are like best friends and so close? It still felt weird to have that conversation. And we're like, that's not normal. Like,
not in the slightest.
How many people experience periods? Half the population.
50% of the population, yeah.
Correct. So we were like, we want to normalize this. And it was kind of rooted in those conversations. And then from that, we were like, okay, we want to destigmatize this. We want to talk about this taboo topic, but we want to make a difference. And we came up with this idea of like creating little subscription packs that people could order. And then once a month, you'd get delivered your period items. And we were very set on them being organic and natural. And then we reached out to a bunch of different brands to get involved and to input like some self-care items as well.
You're so right though, because even I'm 31 and having those conversations still feels taboo, which is
insane.
It doesn't make any sense. But interesting to know that you have been entrepreneurial for such a long time, because I would love to talk about Conserving Beauty. You have been community and partnerships manager there for the last few years. Can you talk to me about how you met Natasia Nicolau, friend of Shameless and also the founder of Conserving Beauty? How did this all come to be?
Long story short, Alyssa and I were doing Preach the Peach and Peach Pack, and we had met a mentor. Her name's Fed, and Fed invested in Natasia's brand, Conserving Beauty. And so we were just having conversations, you know how you do, like just meeting different mentors.
Course.
And she's like, oh, you've got to meet my niece. It's Natasia's also her niece. She's like, you got to meet my niece. She's doing this like amazing things in the skincare world. So you just got to meet her. So we got a coffee with her and she was like, we are launching these dissolving makeup wipes, gave us the whole pitch. And we were like, what do you mean you've made dissolving makeup wipes? Like, it's insane. And she asked Alyssa and I to be a part of the campaign. Alyssa and I did the campaign for her. She launched the wipes. And then I guess Alyssa and I had this conversation of what the future of Peach Pack was going to be and Preach the Peach. And then, you know, she was still studying a law degree. We were having conversations about it. And when we kind of decided, let's, you know, put this on hold, or maybe we'll revisit Peach Pack in a bit, I continued those conversations with Tass and she was like, let's grab a coffee. And I was like, okay, grabbed a coffee thinking we're just going to like catch up. She's like, so how do you feel about working for me?
And I can like, hear her. That's how she would have said that.
Yeah. She's like, so you want a job? You want to start tomorrow? And I was like, yeah, I do.
Okay, so you've mentioned, I mean, Tass is a genius. You've mentioned dissolving makeup wipes.
Yeah.
For anyone who's not across Conserving Beauty, firstly, are you okay? Secondly, can you tell us a little bit about the brand?
Yeah. Okay, so basically Tass comes from an operations and supply chains background. And I think that's what really intrigued me the most, because just her understanding and knowledge of like what it means to create a sustainable product was unlike anything I've ever seen or anyone ever talk about. And I think ironically, she was in the shower one day and she was looking at the products in the shower and looking at the ingredient list. And she noticed that in pretty much all of the products, the first ingredient listed was water. And she was thinking about it. She's like, wait a minute, there is so much water waste, specifically in the beauty industry. And water in a product, it usually doesn't serve a purpose. Sometimes it's in there to change the consistency of a product, but in terms of actually having benefits for your skin, it's basically just a cheap filler.
Yeah.
So she was like, wait a minute, what if we took water out of skincare products and out of beauty products? And then what are you left with? You're just left with the active ingredients. So she was like, that's my aha moment. She went and created this line of skincare that removed water, so it was completely waterless. And then a few months later, she met this med tech company in the UK who they had created this fabric that they would use for wound victims as a bandage. Incredible. Which so good. So basically you had a wound, you'd bandage it up, then it was time to change the wound or just take it off, and you could place it underwater and it would completely dissolve. And so she was like, oh my God, can take the fabric, can take the waterless formulations, put them together and create things like dissolving makeup wipes, dissolving sheet masks. And that's what she's done.
I'm really interested in your take on this, because this is something that I feel, working in beauty myself, there is a fine line, because candidly, the most sustainable thing you can do is not create more products.
Yep.
I think what Tass is doing is one of few beauty brands where she's actually come to the table with a more sustainable solution. Mm-hmm. Given that that is such a massive part of your job and obviously day to day, do you feel pressure to kind of live more sustainably and work through that every day?
Definitely. I think working for Conserving Beauty has inspired me a lot to, first of all, just try and live a more sustainable life, but also the reality is no one's perfect. It's impossible to live a completely sustainable life. So I think it's just about trying your best. Mm. And we actually started a little series for Conserving Beauty called Normalize Not Knowing.
Yes.
And we were like, people care about sustainability. People want to live a more sustainable life, but they're also scared to actually have conversations and ask questions, because I think there's this culture of just like, oh, that's greenwashing and that's not sustainable and that's ethically incorrect. All these things that it's like, then people actually just become quiet, don't ask questions. And yeah, I think not having these conversations is way worse. And it means people are just going to continue living their lives in fear of being canceled because they're not doing the sustainable thing. But it's like, if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much true of anything in life. Like, everyone is just learning day to day. Mm-hmm. All you can do is give it a crack.
Exactly.
And, yeah, better than not trying at all. Mm-hmm. You have been really formative in the growth of Conserving Beauty, particularly on socials from the start.
Thank you.
There have been so many like viral moments that have kind of catapulted the brand into the spotlight, which we love to see. But I'm sure that there are challenges, because in the grand scheme of things, Conserving Beauty is still a startup. It's still in the early days. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that side of the job and the challenges that have come with building a brand pretty much from the ground up and getting it out there on socials?
Yeah, because we're a startup and there's four of us in the team. It's really nice because we all kind of work in different aspects of the business. So yes, I do social media, but then every day looks different. And sometimes I'm helping Kim with e-com stuff. Sometimes I'm doing, you know, graphic design on Canva. Very poor graphic design work on Canva, which I personally love because I feel like I'm learning so much more being able to tap into different parts of the business and doing things that I thought I would never would. So social media, big part, but just in general, working at a startup has been so eye-opening, and I'm learning so much more than just like my little niche of content.
Yeah. Well, I think this is painting a really nice picture of just how much you've got on your plate, but there is more to it. You also have roots in the music industry as well. Two of your three brothers are musicians.
Yes.
Might have heard of them. But you are also in a band yourself. So I would love to know, today, what is your relationship with music like, and how does that, I guess, impact your life coming from such a musical family?
Oh, music, I think, is like, it's probably like my number one favorite thing in this world besides Conserving Beauty.
No, I think you're allowed to say music. It's easier to just have that going at all hours of the day.
Yeah, exactly. But we grew up in such a musical household. My mum, She grew up, she was in Annie, like in South Africa. She was in the little show.
Very famous musical, Annie.
Yeah, in South Africa. And so we grew up her playing Annie, playing musicals. We grew up like obviously listening to like MTV. And then, yeah, Troy, I think it's obviously a bit different for him. Like he's got, you know, we've got home videos of all of us performing, but like he was, you know.
Well, he was so young.
So young when he started. But I mean, yes, he was performing when he was like 2 years old. But then he obviously like started his actual singing career probably like 6 or 7 years old, you know, at like school performances. And then for me, it was always something that I was obsessed with, but I wasn't someone who was like, I'm going to be a pop star. You know, I think Troy was like, music is going to be my everything. But then during COVID, my boyfriend at the time, he was in this band with his brother and their best friends from school. He was like to me, very smart. He was like, we've written this song. Will you just sing on it for now so we can see what it sounds like, because we want a female to sing on it. But like, you'll just be the filler just so we can gauge the vibe. And then he sent it to the band members and he didn't tell them it was me, because they obviously know me. We're friends. And they were like, who is this girl? And like, surely she wants to be in the band. Like, who is Ola? And Sam messaged them being like, oh, it's actually Sage. And then I was like, I think seeing their response, like not knowing that it was me singing, I was like, oh, maybe I could do this. Like, maybe it'll just be fun. And I think at the time, Sam was just like, it doesn't need to be serious. And I feel like that has been the best thing I've ever learned, is that I think we put so much pressure on ourselves that everything you do, it's like, you need to be the best at it. You need to be successful. And I'm just like, wait, you can do things because they're just fun.
Yes.
And it's a hobby and it's a creative outlet.
I love this sentiment so much. We had Maggie Zhao on the show, episode 2 of this series, and she was talking about finding awe and finding joy in the day-to-day. And I think we forget as adults that there are things in life that are purely just meant to be a bit of fun. When you're a child, you have all these hobbies and you do things for the sake of joy. And there are fewer and fewer opportunities to do that as an adult. So the fact that you've seized one, I just think is the coolest thing.
And so much more enjoyable. Yeah. It's like, even with the band, for a moment, it started getting more serious. And the pressure of needing it to like get to X or for it to be this massive thing just took the joy out of it. And we're like, wait a minute, we're actually just making and playing music because we love it.
Love that. Well, since we're here with Baileys, I think it would be remiss of us not to enjoy a Baileys today. I have learnt a few different ways to have my Baileys recently, but sometimes I think simple is best. So I'm thinking of Baileys over ice. What do you think?
That sounds wonderful.
All right, let's go to the kitchen. Okay, Baileys on ice. We're keeping it simple, classic, sophisticated.
Yum, I'm excited.
If you have listened to or seen previous episodes of this, you will know that I have very strong feelings about ice cubes. I think that it should be a singular, perfectly square cube. That is what we're starting with. So we're going to get in here.
I love that.
Oh, they're stuck together.
Okay.
That's so upsetting for me. I'm going to take this one. Now, Sage, I need you to be paying really close attention because this is a complicated recipe.
Got it. Got it.
Now we're going to pour 50 mils of our Baileys Irish cream liqueur.
I'm glad you're doing this.
I'm pretty heavily caffeinated, but I am also concentrating. There we go. Because this is serious stuff. Thank you. And then the final step, cheers.
Cheers.
That's good.
Objectively the best tasting liqueur out there.
So nice.
That is beautiful.
I actually have a bunch more questions for you, so I think we take these back out there and get into it. All right, we've got our classic Baileys on ice in front of us. Cheers.
Cheers.
I'm going to have a little sippy. That is beautiful. That is the ultimate indulgence. In your me time moments, what is your go-to way to indulge? I mean, how much me time are you getting?
I know, that's
firstly
what I was thinking. I was like, me time? What is me time? No, if I get any me time, I'm having a bath. That
love
is
that.
Just my way, and I will lie in there until I am an old wrinkly lady, but I don't get a lot of that. I think my favorite way to indulge is it's quite basic, but there's context. My parents are not foodies at all. Like, mm-hmm. we grew up McCain's pizza, frozen food, which no hate towards my parents. Like, loved that for me back then. But growing up, my brothers and I have just found a love for food, a love for cooking. And so we only in our later years have started indulging in going to like nice restaurants. And I love it, honestly. There is nothing more indulgent to me than going with your girlfriends or your siblings to one of Melbourne's best restaurants. And I mean, there's a million of them. And having a good wine and some good food.
I mean, this might be tricky to answer, but at what point do you think you guys kind of became foodies? Mm. I feel like everyone that I speak to who calls themselves a foodie or loves exploring new restaurants kind of grew up in that way, but you've all gone out and discovered it on your own.
For me, I found a love for cooking when I was in high school. I was like, okay, I want to start being a bit healthier. You know, the McCain's pizza.
Yeah.
It's enough.
Yeah.
I started learning how to make healthy food. And then when Troy moved to LA, he started going to restaurants. And I mean, I think the food scene in LA is just so good.
Like, it's pretty amazing.
It's pretty amazing. And so when he started eating out more, he was like, oh, wow, this food's good. He's like, and then I think because he spends a lot of time as well on his own and on the internet, he's like a pure internet boy. He's like spent a lot of time watching cooking shows, watching YouTube, which then we would sit and watch together. During lockdown, MasterChef, YouTube, cooking channels, like that's all we did. We just consumed. And then eventually we're like, we should start making the food ourselves. Then we started doing that, and it was kind of a very natural progression. There was no like specific like moment. It was more just like, oh, this is really fun content to consume. Let's start doing it ourselves.
I love that. Yeah. How do you, I mean, aside from watching foodie content on YouTube, how do you find joy in kind of simple moments day to day?
This is going to sound so wanky.
It won't. It absolutely won't.
I'm like obsessed with my life in general.
I love that. That's heaven.
No, I am like, I could cry thinking about it. Like, how lucky am I? I just feel so lucky and blessed. Like, I have the best family. I live in the best city in the world, Melbourne. I think I grew up in Perth. I love Perth, but Melbourne to me is so special and cool and interesting. I'm just like, it's pretty hard to like not find joy in that.
That is the best answer.
Yeah.
I love that you feel grateful and I love that you love your life. You were saying earlier when I complimented you, you're like, oh, it doesn't feel real. Do you celebrate your wins? The answer from most people that I've asked has been, oh, no, I kind of forget to do it. Mm-hmm. Please say yes. Damn.
I know. I celebrate my wins about those general things in life. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm winning socially because I have the best friends ever.
That's nice.
Winning family-wise, I have the best relationships with my siblings and my parents and family. In terms of like personal wins, I mean, do you like?
Yeah, big time.
You do celebrate them?
Massively, yeah.
Oh, I'm in awe of that. When I was running my own thing, Peach Pack, I could not celebrate wins at all.
Yeah.
It's become a lot easier working with tasks and working for Conserving Beauty because I'm like, I find it easier to celebrate the wins with a team of people,
sure.
I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But in saying that, it's just hard.
How do you like to reset for a new week? Do you have a routine? Talk me through it.
Honestly, Sundays, I really need time off. Like weekends to me, I am actually like, I don't like making plans.
Love it.
I'm just like, I think the weeks are so hectic and so nonstop. And especially, you know, work Conserving Beauty during the day and then so grateful and lucky that then I also, you know, do a bit of content creation and social media on the side because I'm usually, you get to go to fun events and stuff. So I'm like, weekends, no plans. I want to like decide in that moment what I want to do. So yeah, weekends are just like time off to reset and relax. But yeah, on a Sunday, I'm usually, I actually go for like a 2-hour long walk. That
Love
is my
that.
Like long walk day. It's when I listen to podcasts, I listen to music. So that is a non-negotiable. And then I'll do a little grocery shop. I will usually have a bath. It's a self-care me day.
Love that.
Yeah.
Love it. Of course, we are here with the Shameless Book Club, so I want to finish with a few quick fire book questions for you. They don't have to be full rapid fire, but just sort of the first thing that comes to mind. How do you like to consume books?
On holiday.
Yeah, love that.
On holiday, or when I know I have time to dedicate my full self to the book. I want to like be engulfed in a book.
Nice.
So that's mainly on holiday.
Yeah, that tracks when you're not working on conserving beauty, singing in a band that you sort of accidentally joined, working on content. What genre of books do you like reading?
Romance, coming of age, and then a bit of like biographies. I love an autobiography.
You are someone that we all go to for trends. You are a tastemaker after all. Is there a book or a series that you fell in love with after it became trendy online or on TikTok?
Sally Rooney.
Yeah, Normal nice. People.
Yeah, I think it had just started trending, the book, before the TV series came out. And it rocked my world. I'm sorry. Any hater, I'm like, nah. Like, it was iconic.
So not something to say I'm sorry for.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for letting me pick your brain. We still have some more Baileys to get through, so we may wrap this up here. The Tastemakers in partnership with Baileys Irish Cream Liqueur will be dropping in your Shameless Book Club feed every fortnight. So keep an eye out for our next brilliant tastemaker joining us on the show very soon. To see videos of this conversation, check us out on Instagram at The Shameless Book Club. And for the full recipe used in this episode, check out the show notes. Thank you so much to Baileys for allowing us to indulge and for bringing the tastemakers to life. And remember to always drink responsibly. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you, Sage.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
So much fun.
Media.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.
Oh, hi, it's Annabelle Lee and Louis Hansen here. We are your hosts of Everybody Has a Secret.
Woo!
Woo! We are here essentially just to let you know that we drop episodes every week now. Every damn Friday morning, we are in your ears.
That is so exciting. What a time to be in your ear holes. So essentially, each episode, we unpack the real life secrets of our listeners. So this is for everyone who loves, you know, just a little bit of gossip in their lives, which, let's be real, Annabelle, is all of us.
It's absolutely all of us. Don't lie. You all love gossip. So if you want to listen to our show, please do head to your favourite podcast app and listen now.
See you there.
Bye.